resurrection lift. And I'm sure we have realized by now that the resurrection, the message that Christ crucified is risen, that this gospel lifts a man, lifts a woman, lifts a situation. You see, the whole message of redemption literally does lift. The resurrection changes everything. And if we find in situations that that is not happening, to some extent at least, then I think we ought to ask some questions. I remember in my younger days being on a hiking experience, and the first night, we being the scouting troop that I was part of, it actually was in this area around towards Rostrever a bit, we were starting this hike, and I remember we arrived in the minibus, and that particular night we were staying in some sort of hostel or shed or something. I can't actually quite remember. But anyway, it was pitch black. And I can remember vividly as a young boy seeing in the silhouette the vague image of these mountains. But that was really all that was seen. And it was only literally the next morning when we were dragged out of our sleeping bags and we went outside that we saw, first of all, where we were, and we saw something of the beauty of the landscape in which we had arrived from Kalibaki. And, you know, the whole message of the gospel and the resurrection is a bit like that. It ought to begin to open our minds and our hearts and our souls to see where we are and to see something of the wonder and the beauty of this new place that God has brought us, despite what problems we may be facing. We sang this morning that lovely hymn of Stuart Townend, "See, what a morning, gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem." And you know, folks, there is a sense in which that ought to be the case for every believer, not only as we come to Jesus, but as we rededicate our lives to Jesus, that we would be enabled to, as it were, see what a morning it is. To see what a new place it is that God has brought us into. This morning, the passage that was read was Matthew 28. And these verses were emphasized. "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples." And we thought this morning a little bit about the come and see. Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Come and investigate. Those who are not quite sure, those who are still a little skeptical or whatever, come and see. Come and examine. Don't be like that person that I met and I mentioned this morning who thought they knew everything about the gospel and had ridiculed it and dismissed it, but they had never come to see. In fact, they knew nothing about it. They were speaking out of pure ignorance. They had never even read the gospel. So we need to come and see. But then we go and we tell. And that in many ways is the thrust of just what I want to share with you in the little time that I have. Christians today, everywhere, whether it's here or wherever, we are called to go and tell. So what does that actually mean? Well, in many ways, how long have you got? It means a whole lot of things. But let me just mention a few maybe obvious things this evening. There's three things that I'm going to mention briefly, and then I'll dwell a wee bit longer on the last one. The first thing I would just say is this. What does it mean to go and tell? Live. One of the little quotations that is on the bulletin today, and we do try to think carefully about what's put into the bulletin, so we do trust and pray that people do look at that. But it was the words of Vaughan Roberts, who's a pastor over in England, and he said this, and it's not on the screen, but listen to this. You'll have read it, most of you. There's much that could depress us as we read the newspapers and look into our own hearts. But those who know that Jesus is alive will always have hope, even in the most depressing circumstances. Jesus Christ is Lord. And so there's a sense in which we are to live. If I can Christianize another term, the carpe diem term, the seize the day. That some of you will know maybe from a famous film or a book. Seize the day. Now let me Christianize that. Seize the day. And I'm saying to you tonight simply and very briefly as your pastor, seize the day and live. Christ is risen. Live. Life is very uncertain and life is short at best. So I say to you, in the very fullest and most Christian sense, make the best of every day and live your life. Don't be sitting in a corner. Live your life in light of the risen Lord Jesus. And the second one there's a bit of duplication, but the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe, ought to and indeed must instill some sense of joy into the heart of the believer. Now, it's another sermon, but joy and happiness aren't always the same things, and we're not suggesting that we go round like the proverbial Cheshire cat with a grin on our faces. Life, as I've said, is not always straightforward, but the Christian experience puts a joy deep into our hearts, a deep joy. And if you haven't got that joy and you're professing, well, maybe you need to go and in your quiet time really lay hold of God and pray that you would experience that. In Matthew 28 and verse 8, it says this, that the woman hurried away from the tomb. I love this. The woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. They didn't have all the answers. They weren't really sure what had happened. In fact, there were still big questions in their hearts, but they were filled with joy. And folks, that ought to be the case for all of us. We certainly do not have all the answers. There can be many questions in our hearts about many different things. But surely if we do truly believe that we have a Savior in Jesus Christ who died for our sins, was dead and buried, but on the third day he rose again and defeated and conquered death, if that doesn't put a sense of joy in your heart, well, nothing really will. As Robert said, and I've already quoted it, those who know that Jesus is alive will always have hope, even in the most depressing circumstances. And folks, it may well be that many here could, though they wouldn't dare, speak of a depressing circumstance in your life, in your situation. Doesn't exactly lift the heart. But you have Christ. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And he has conquered death. You're on the winning side. Allow that to fill you with joy. May the Lord forgive us for the times when we have not shared that joy. If any people ought to be joyful in this community, it ought to be Bible-believing Christians. And so it's my prayer that he would renew us and make our outlooks more joyful, because we are meant to be resurrection people. We believe in the resurrection. And even though bad things happen, we believe in the resurrection. And if the world doesn't see that in the life of a believer, then the world says, what's that all about? So we need to rejoice. But we also need to pray. Now, that's a whole sermon on its own. Suffice to say, we will continue to meet and to pray. And our prayer meetings will not just be about maintaining things, nor just about the problems that we may encounter, but our prayer meetings will also have a heart for frontline mission and reaching out. And prayer meetings in a church always need to have that outward look. Prayer meetings can turn in on themselves, but we must never allow that to happen, because when prayer meetings have a heart for mission and what's going on the street and elsewhere, then that puts a freshness into prayer. But the last thing that I want just to spend a few moments on is witness. Now, we often think at this point of individual and personal witness, and that is very, very important. But I want just for a few moments to emphasize the importance of our corporate witness. In other words, the witness of a group of people, the witness of a church. I suspect you'll agree with me in this when I say this. This age in which we live is an age which, dare I say, can be a bit tired of words and slogans. They too easily switch off from these things. But they cannot, I believe, ignore lives that are different. And that's why this whole aspect of a group of people essentially seeking by God's grace to be what they claim to be is I don't think I can overstate how important this is. It is hard to ignore genuine, caring communities of love. And what a powerful witness it is in any community to see a group of Christian people who live out the reality of Jesus in their lives individually, but also together. Because this, and think about this in effect is how others will see Jesus. Think about that for a moment. How will the unbelieving people in Kilkeel or wherever see Jesus? They're not going to read the Bible because they're not interested in reading the Bible. So they look at Christians. And make no mistake, they do look and observe and note. And sometimes they say, oh, no, I didn't see what I was really looking for there. And they walk away. But whenever they see something that's real, I believe God uses that in a very powerful way. It can be a very persuasive apologetic for the gospel, as somebody once said. You see, God's church, God's new society, is to reflect visually as well as verbally the gospel. Let me put that another way. People not only need to hear the word, they absolutely need to hear the word, but they also, I believe, need to see it. They need to see it. And where are they going to see it? They're going to see it in your life, and they're going to see it in the life of a church. And what they see will actually determine what they think of the gospel. You see, it's all about being authentic. Authentic Christianity. I wonder, how authentic are we? That's a big question, isn't it? And you see, it was for this reason that Tim Keller, whom we keep quoting, Tim Keller in Redeemer in Manhattan in New York, he said famously that the quality of our community is the real secret of Christian mission. The quality of Christian community is the real secret of mission. When those outside see exceptional community, it convinces them of the truth of Jesus' message, and it attracts them personally towards joining those who follow him. That's profoundly true. So here's the question: what kind of witness does this church make in this community? How do people see us? Somebody might say, well, I couldn't really be bothered how people see us. Well, that would be a mistake. People need to see Jesus in and through us. Otherwise, they will just walk on past the church and down the road. Let me predict, God willing, if the Lord has not come back, let me predict what the coming generation is going to bring unless there is a revival. It's going to bring smaller churches. It's going to bring more informal churches where the things of which we now speak will be at the very heart. I'm convinced that one of the best models of Christian mission is the church simply being what she claims to be. Now, that's not rocket science, and yet we often struggle with that, don't we? John Stott, whom we also like to quote, said this: the local church cannot evangelize, proclaiming the gospel of love, if it is not itself a community of love. You see, love is very, very important. We're not minimizing truth, but the two things hold together. What we are determines the message that people hear. What we are will determine if we underscore or undermine the gospel. Think about that, folks, and pray about that. If we are what we claim to be, that will advance our mission. And if we are not, that will undermine the mission. And my prayer, as I just tie this together, I want to say a few things just before I finish. My prayer as I've prepared this message is that in light of the Easter story and the resurrection lift, and freshly moved and enabled by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that we would be encouraged, and let me mention some things here, to be a church that does not just hear the Word, but puts it into practice. To be a church known for our love for the Lord Jesus and our love for one another. To be a church known for our love of neighbor in an increasingly divided society. To be a church with a passion for the gospel and compassion for people. To be a genuinely welcoming church, open to whoever walks in through that door, realizing that this is not actually our church, but it's God's church. And we are all sinners seeking the grace of God. To be a hospitable church, to be a church that seeks with a whole and a full heart to do whatever it is we're doing, to be committed to this local church in an age of very little commitment, to attend this local church, and in our participation, whether it's singing in the pew or the choir or the group, or whether it's providing music or praying or giving or welcoming or cleaning or recording or making tea, just to do it with a full heart, to the very best that we can do it. To be a church willing to step out in faith and take a few risks for the gospel. Somebody once said, you can either risk or rust. Well, none of us want to rust out. Sometimes we are scared to try things because we think, well, maybe it'll not work. Well, as I learned many years ago from Billy Patterson, Billy used to say, look, try it. If it doesn't work, that's fine. If it didn't work, try something else. That's fine. To resist the position of being a church with a facing inwards mentality and to be a church with a facing outwards mentality. Let me in closing ask you some questions which I hope you will take on board and prayerfully consider in light of the gospel story and the Easter story. And these are more personal questions, folks. These are more personal questions that I apply to my own heart and I share with you as I now am about to finish. And I don't have them on the screen, sorry about that. But listen, here are the questions. They're quite searching. Is God at work in your life? Are you daily being renewed in repentance and faith? Are you seeking, or have you ever even thought about seeking a deeper conversion? Are you seeking to live a spirit-filled life? When was the last time that you did something because you love Jesus? And when was the last time that you stopped doing something because you love Jesus? And when was the last time that you intentionally asked a neighbor or someone to come to church or to some church event with you? You see, the angel said to the woman, Jesus is not here. He's risen. Just as he said. Come and see if you want. See where he lay. And then go and tell. And that's our message. The resurrection changes everything. And we cannot, as we go out that door tonight, we have to make that choice. Am I going to allow this message to begin to change me a bit more? Or am I just going to sit in my comfort zone? Come and see. Go and tell. A short prayer. Father in heaven, we realize that these are searching questions, but they are offered in love and in grace. And we just pray, Lord, that over these coming days and weeks, that in our own quiet moments, that we might be touched afresh. And out of our love for Jesus, we will seek to live that others, neighbours and friends and family, will know that we're not just a Sunday Christian, that Jesus is our Saviour and our friend every day of every week. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this very appropriate hymn, O Church, Arise and Put Your Armour On.